Welcome, everyone, to the Gaming Dead podcast. We are five men here to talk about gaming. That's what we do here. So joining us on this cast, we have Chris Benson.
Hey.
Christian Martin.
Yo.
Kenneth Ellis.
Hey, what about?
And Ronnie Lloyd.
What's up?
I am your semi-host with the most, Eric Johnson. We have our PAX wrap-up coming up here in about 15 minutes, but first we're going to get into our topic of the day, which is Project Zomboid making it onto Desura after a long and arduous trip through development and PayPal rapage, as I would describe it. Chris, you want to talk a bit on that?
So apparently they kept getting shut down by PayPal because they were trying to sell a product that didn't actually exist yet, even though it was a pre-order. PayPal apparently doesn't like that, so PayPal like froze the funds that they had made up to whatever point it was. So then they decided that they would sell other games for the price of Project Zomboid. So they made little shitty games in like 5 seconds. There's one that's like a text-based rock, paper, scissors simulator.
Oh, yeah, and there's a stand on the other guy, but be higher.
Yeah. Oh, be bigger. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, stand it, but be bigger.
Yeah. You just happen to get a bonus of Project Zomboid with any of the games. But the funny thing is that the games all cost different amounts of money. The most expensive one is $15, so you can kind of choose how much you want to pay for Project Zomboid, which is interesting.
It was a really creative way, I think, to try to solve the situation they were in, and I think that that really paid off going forward because I think they got really good marketing, and the game was really good, so it needed to get attention. And if the game wasn't good and they released those three tiny games and everything sucked, then we would hear about it. So obviously, it worked well for the pre-order situation, and it's only, I think, picked up a lot of steam, no pun intended, heading into Desura, because I think they talked about wanting to get Zomboid on Steam, but it needs to be in a more finished state than it is now, as most games on Steam aren't in alpha or beta.
Actually, the latest news about Steam is that there's no plan to do that for the foreseeable future.
So that's not surprising because it's just in a really early development stage too.
Right, yeah.
They talked about that with Minecraft as well. The fact that it's still in beta. I mean, it was in alpha for a really long time. And more importantly, Notch pointed out that it would pretty much, he thinks it would split the community up because it would be like Steam users and not Steam users. It's interesting. Steam is not a monopoly, but it's as close as you could possibly be in the PC space as far as digital distribution. But Zomboid is on Desura, which is ModDB and IndieDB's distribution center. And that's a bit of an accomplishment because I think 3 months ago when the whole situation was happening, it didn't look good. We were wondering if IndieStone may have just wanted to give up and quit on the project because they got screwed so hard. I don't know if it was hundreds of thousands of dollars, but it was like a big chunk of money that was basically taken away from them for a while.
What is Project Zomboid?
Chris has played it. I have watched someone play it, so I guess that's 1.5 impressions. From what I got, you are a survivor in a zombie apocalypse that is not meant to survive for much longer. And you really got the sense that these people were living out the last few minutes or moments of their life. And the inevitability of the zombies start really adding to that because all of a sudden, outside the house, you see these lurking creatures, and they keep coming, and they keep coming, and they keep coming until it's over.
Yeah, so I saw some screenshots, and it looks like eventually it's just oceans of zombies are coming at you in your house.
One thing I didn't like about the game, actually, and I loved the game, I was actually really surprised at how good every facet of the game was, from the writing to the music to whatever. But one thing I didn't like is it's like kind of like The Sims. You have to worry about your hunger meter and how lonely you are. And
it was too much like meta stuff to worry about.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying because like if you're tired, you have to go to bed and then you're starving while you sleep. And then you got to rush out to look through a house to see if there's food. It's very, I don't know. It's definitely, it's not a relaxed sort of game, but I guess that's the point.
Well, it's survival,
yeah,
zombie thing that much.
We'll have to see how it really develops over the next few months here, and
it's
and
a sandbox game, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's only single player. There's no like.
No, it's multiplayer.
I'm not sure, Chris.
I could have sworn it was supposed to be like an MMORPG or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Or something.
They might be building towards that.
I probably made that up. Oh wait, join your friends and survive the apocalypse together in co-op multiplayer.
Well, I think it just has a long way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, right now it's early in development. They have a good idea. I guess we just have to see where it goes. But there's been a great reaction from it so far.
One thing that seems interesting about this game than compared to other zombie games is the whole, you know, being depressed, just that kind of thing, like the loneliness, the starving. I kind of like that, but I don't want it to feel like a chore.
Yeah.
I would say it's the hardest thing to do in a game is to bring realistic gameplay into it and then make that interesting at all.
Not tedious, yeah.
I mean, it's what we want in a survival zombie game is to feel like we're fully immersed, you know, and part of that, but...
I think having it playable cooperatively, I think that's going to help a lot because, I don't know, one person could gather food and somebody else could masturbate in the corner. I don't know what you can do, but...
You have 5 minutes, man. You better be great. And that's Project Zomboid. That's available now on Desura for, is it $10, Chris? I'm not positive on that. I think it's 10.
You can get it for $5, $10, or $15.
Oh, through their site.
Or all three,
yeah.
If you're dumb.
But I mean, or really supportive.
Yeah.
We have several different undead news items to talk about. First of all, the Walking Dead video game by Telltale. It's an adventure game. And it is a different take on it, more towards the graphic novel than the AMC television show, from what I've heard. Chris, what else have you heard about it?
That's pretty much it. It's going to be an adventure, and it's going to have zombies. That's all I know.
I'm glad I go to you for everything every time. The worry to me right at this point is that Telltale has taken on way too many projects at the moment, and they just finished up with Back to the Future. They were showing off while we were at PAX, and they were showing off Jurassic Park heavily, and Ken's kind of giving you a sigh right there because the game wasn't really a game as much as it was just a bunch of QuickTime events and really like a movie type of feel. Just no gameplay to be had.
It was a real...
The whole game is like that?
Well, from what I played, it was real... What was that old arcade game, Dragon... I forgot what it was, but it was just a movie, and you got to specific points, and you had to press the button at the right time.
Right.
And then the game would continue, or you died. This one, it's even less than that, because what I played was your guy being chased by Velociraptors, and you had to press...
Dragon Slayer.
Dragon Slayer.
That was going to bother me.
Yeah, you had to like press X or charge it up or press the L stick at the right time, and if you did, you went on and got away from the Velociraptors. If you didn't, you just kind of screwed up, but you could still get away from them. I was like, well, if I mess up, kill me. Don't give me like three strikes and I'm out thing.
Yeah, to me, all I'm seeing is that you either pass or fail, and if you fail, you don't fail. You just
like sort of keeps going.
Yeah, right. I mean, like you're like, I didn't do the coolest thing I could have done, and we're gonna keep going. You know, so
you need to like keep failing to fail. If they're doing the same thing for the Walking Dead game, I don't know if I'd be too interested.
I can't imagine it would be a fast-paced thing like that where you're just constantly running from zombies.
You would think it'd be more of a, you know, where you could explore around and then all of a sudden run into either people or zombies or whatever and have to react to that situation. So either it was a really bad choice to demo that portion of the game, I think, by Telltale, or if that's the whole game, then I think that game does not look interesting at all, and I don't think it'll... I'm sure it'll sell on its own IP, but I don't see it being a good game. Next, we have Zombie Apocalypse, which I am going to hand off to Chris Benson, I hope.
Hey, so Zombie Apocalypse. Got zombies. I assume it's Apocalypse-related. That's all.
All right. Next.
This is so great. This is actually going to become a real segment of the show, is hanging up to Chris and having summing up the game.
But, like, that name's kind of dumb, like, as opposed to, like, the other zombie games that have nothing to do with Apocalypse.
Yeah. No, like Zombie Paradise or Zombie,
yeah.
You know.
Like Zombie Shopping.
Well, Zombie Apocalypse, it just, at this point, I guess it doesn't really interest anybody to look further into it because, I mean, what's special about it? We've seen Zombie Apocalypse 1,000 times.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting tired. Like, when, remember Hunt of the Reckoning came out way back when?
Yeah.
It was like, you know, top-down co-op zombie killing.
Yeah.
That was really, you know, novel at the time. And now it's just like every system has 15 different downloadable co-op zombie killing game.
Yeah.
It's a little tiresome.
And now it's all about just finding which one is either right for you or which one is actually best.
Zombies are the new socially acceptable Nazis.
Oh,
things
yeah.
that you can kill that no one's going to be mad that you're killing them.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm mad.
Mine is usually babies.
Oh, yeah?
I can't wait till they have a wave of, like, baby killing games. That'll be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. You're a bad person.
Well, I mean, we mentioned Nazis and zombies, so we'll go into Call of Duty. Black Ops has a new DLC pack coming out called Resurrection. Chris Benson, give us the lowdown.
Actually, this one's Christian.
Well, wait, I thought you were just... I wanted to at least get the Chris Benson 3 zombie lowdown.
Resurrection is spelled wrong, so that's all I got.
For deep perspective, we tossed it over to Christian Martin.
All right, I don't know why we're...
You're supposed to read it.
I did, but okay, anyway. Yeah, basically, it's all zombie maps. I'm not sure, was it like 4 or 5? Just a whole pack of them. One takes place on the moon called The Moon. It's actually, the moon level actually sounds kind of cool because you get futuristic weapons. It's like low gravity, so I guess, I don't know if the zombies like bounce towards you or something. It sounds pretty crazy. They always
It'd be cool if you could, like, drop kick a zombie or something, because they go away.
I'm pretty sure the physics are really moony.
So, Call of Duty Black Ops Resurrection, that's 4 or 5 maps.
Wait, let me count. One of which
is on the moon.
It's 5.
And we'll have zombies in it.
Is there going to be a zombie expansion for, like, every SPF? I'm kind of waiting for perfect dark zombie infestation.
I
want
to play an SPF. Would I have to do that at the beach?
An SPF? Yes, I would. They come in installments of 15, 30,
shooter
90.
Shooter person first.
I personally can't wait for the Left 4 Dead zombie DLC finally to come out.
Yeah.
Because I've been waiting that a long time. That game needs to make the zombie leap.
No, they should release a Nazi expansion to Left 4 Dead.
That would be good. That would be really good.
Just the fuck with me.
Lewis, the hero of the Allies. Yeah. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Guillermo del Toro's long in development and apparently longer in development game, Insane, Chris Benson.
Okay, this time it's not my fault because there's like no information on it. But Guillermo del Toro said it was going to take 2 to 3 more years to develop.
Damn.
Even though they've already been at it 2 years.
Wow.
So,
I'll jump in also because if you guys know Limbo, Playdead's really fun.
Yeah, I love Limbo.
Really dark game. They just announced their new game is going to take about 2 or 3 years as well. So in 2 or 3 years, we're going to get a couple of really cool games.
Is there a competition to find the new Duke Nukem Forever game? The game that's famous for not coming out?
Well, 2 to 3 is about 8 to 9 below what Forever was. So, I mean, that you got to hit the decade point. And you can't be indie. You have to be a big studio that just fails at making a game.
With Half-Life 3.
Yeah, I mean, but even then, that game will still probably be halfway decent when it comes out a decade off of its original target mark. So,
you know, Limbo did so well that Playdead bought themselves back from investors.
I saw that, and I thought that was really cool because now they're totally indie again, even though they're pretty much indie anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into the PAX stuff then.
Wait.
Okay.
I want to talk about board games.
Okay.
So.
Board games added to the list on PAX Wrap.
So Walking Dead actually has 2 board games coming out. And they're both by pretty high-profile companies. And one's based on the comic, and the other's based on the TV series. And so both companies are pretty angry at each other.
That's pretty funny, actually. I would probably go with the comic, unless the TV one only focused on the pilot, because that was the only episode I actually enjoyed out of the entire first season. So, I wonder how they play.
I don't know.
Actually,
I do know. The one that's based on the comic, which is called The Walking Dead Board Game.
Comic version?
And I think that's the right one. One of them is called The Walking Dead Board Game, and the other is called The Walking Dead : The Board Game.
Yes!
So then we have our differences. Yeah, I know.
I usually try to steer away from like show-themed board games, because usually they just become big advertisements and they just splatter as much stuff from the show and all the actors' like faces and everything as much as possible, and you just get drowned out. You don't even care about the game anymore.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, do you guys know if the two different companies like knew that the other one was making another board game at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just like, screw it.
The official Walking Dead TV show board game actually looks kind of shitty, because it's the board is actually very Monopoly. It's like a you just go around a square, and I guess you can cut through the middle, which is a pretty amazing.
So it's like Parcheesi.
What a concept. Yeah, I don't know. It's I'm looking at a picture right now, and it looks pretty horrible.
So it's Walking Dead Candyland.
Yeah, it has a survival mode, or like a team-based mode, where you're trying to get back to the camp and surviving. I guess you're trying to make other people die. I don't know.
What a prickish game. Like, the other players.
The other one definitely looks more interesting now that I've actually looked at them.
Getting into our PAX Prime wrap-up, Ken Ellis and Eric Johnson, that's me. We were at PAX covering everything we could get our grubby little hands on, and Ken, you have several playthroughs to talk about. Let's start with Dead Island, because it's something that we've talked about before in our theoretical podcasts that we haven't actually aired. We were talking about how we didn't really know a whole lot about the gameplay, specifically from the trailer, which was amazing, but had nothing to do with the game, as we found out very often later. So, going off that, what did you actually get to do with the game, first of all, and you know, what did you think of it?
Well, first off, I want to say that at the same time, just before I played Dead Island, I was at an interview for Final Fantasy XIII 2, which is in a long time from coming out, and they let me record the footage from that. But Dead Island, which is coming out like in a couple weeks, there were like no pictures, no anything. You can't record at all. It was weird. But going with the game, it from what the guy told me, it was very demo version, so I was very limited on where I could go. But from what the guy said, there are areas that open up as you play the game, but pretty much from the beginning, it's pretty much sandbox. You can go wherever you want. And it was pretty interesting because there's a bunch of survivors. You start off in this shanty and everyone's freaking out. And you can go out and kill zombies and try and bring back supplies or more survivors, stuff like that. But you, as a character, are immune, but none of the survivors are. So if you leave the door open, some zombies can walk in and just screw everything up. And it's a pretty brutal game. Like, when you kill a zombie, you can break the bones of the zombies you're fighting. And then, so if you break the zombie's arm, he can't swing at you very well. You break his legs, they get really slow. So it's good to like go in a group, and apparently it's drop-in, drop-out. The guy says it's kind of Diablo 2 style, but the zombies and everything power up the more people are around.
So I'm guessing by the fact that it's drop-in, drop-out, and very Diablo-like, that there's not much of a story?
No, there is a story. As you play the game, you figure out what's going on. I asked about the story. They're tight-lipped about a lot of stuff, so they don't really get much. But there's four different characters, and each one has a very distinct storyline from what I heard, with the overarching storyline that's going on. And, cool thing about the game is once you kill a zombie, you don't have to be done with it. You can keep beating the zombie into a bloody pulp if you wanted. It's pretty smart.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and the really cool thing is, there's pools around and stuff, and you can jump in the pools. They're not big enough that you can swim in it, but it is large enough that if you wanted, you could take a zombie and drown it in the water.
Wait, you can drown zombies?
Yeah, you can drown zombies. But yeah, it's pretty fun game from my 30-minute play I got to do.
Well, that's great. I mean, because I think Ken and I were a little concerned about the gameplay because we didn't know exactly what they were trying to present here.
Yeah. Obviously, there were no kids running around, so I was kind of disappointed about that.
I wanted to ask, I heard like from some other people who had played it earlier, stuff that made me like really worry about the game, where they said like one of the characters that you could play as was this rapper guy or something.
Yeah.
And he was
kind
of like ridiculous and like would be like yelling these stupid things like, "Yeah, son!" And did you get that kind of feeling from the game that does it seem cheesy?
I wasn't,
or
I wasn't actually able to listen to the game when I was playing it because I had to play the game and interview the guy that's showing it to me. So I didn't get a chance to listen to the audio. So there might be some ridiculous stuff because apparently he's like a rapper and he has this famous song called Do You Voodoo or something like that. I don't know. It's weird. But I mean, even if the audio's bad, the game's still really fun and brutal. So
cool.
I still play it with the mute on.
And that'll be on. That'll be out for I think 360, PS3, and PC later this year. I think
it's coming out in like a couple weeks.
Okay, it'll be out at the next week. September. Okay. And then the big event that Christian was invested with all weekend with PAX was Halo Fest. They had several new games, or a couple of new games to talk about, as well as all the other stuff. It basically marks the transition between developers of Bungie to 343. I think that this was the major effort to do, Christian. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it was kind of like 343's chance to show themselves to the community and talk to people. And when I first heard that it was switching from Bungie to 343, I was kind of nervous because, Bungie has made all these really good games. And I was actually disappointed when Bungie, like, announced Halo Reach because I wanted them to make a new game and then come back to Halo.
Right.
So then when they announced that they were going to make another Halo game, I was like, damn. And then now they, like, totally dropped it. So I would have rather them kind of come back to it. Every other game could be a Halo game or something. I was really worried about 343 because it wasn't even, like, really created yet. You know, they announced it and they were still hiring people, especially on like the game design side. But after like watching a lot of the panels and everything, it made me feel a lot better. I think like in a way, because I think Bungie kind of did what they, you know, they did what they did. They did what they had to. They told the stories that they had in them for Halo. And I felt like with Reach was an awesome game, but especially the campaign and stuff, it kind of seemed, I don't know, like I was kind of getting bored of their Halo games, to be honest. I still love playing them, but I just felt like there wasn't anything new. Like all the levels felt the same. But I think 343 is really seems like they're not afraid to kind of try new things and to kind of risk it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to seeing what a different company does with the Halo universe. Because, yeah, like you were saying, I'm pretty bored with Bungie making a Halo game.
Yeah.
I like when they try different things like Halo Wars, but basic first-person shooter Halo is kind of boring to me.
Yeah, I think it's good for Bungie just to be able to make a new IP entirely and go off in that direction because I think they are a good developer, and it was just a separation that's good for both probably the franchise and the developer because they can go off and they can make a great game, and then 343 can come in and breathe some new life into the Halo universe, which, you know, the multiplayer is already pretty solid. But as you guys said, ODST was not even a full game as far as that was concerned in campaign or single player. And the Reach campaign left a lot to be desired. But overall, the characters weren't really that interesting, and the plot line was meh.
Yeah. So, and the cool thing is, because I was kind of talking to Chris and Ronnie about this a couple of days ago, we had like this big discussion about shooters and like why I think Halo is amazing. And But our main thing was like we talked about like how the story, like it's weird because the story in the Halo games I think is a lot more interesting than the story in most shooters, but it's still told in this kind of, it kind of feels disjointed sometimes. It feels weird. It doesn't feel like, we were talking about how we think it's because of the way they put design first and then they kind of figure out, okay, we need a reason why you drive a Warthog in the third level.
Yeah, I think the storyline disjointed thing might not be because game design anything, but the way they're forcing themselves to tell the story is that there is a definite interplanetary war going on between two space powers, but because you can't play all those powers, you're gonna play one guy, a bunch of the big events have to happen to one guy. And it just feels weird that one guy would be at all these major events.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like if Patton was at every major battle in World War II. It would be weird.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Another thing is just, I think for what they wanted to do with Halo, at least story-wise, you would have to choose another medium besides video games.
Yeah, like the Halo books, I don't know if you guys have really read them.
Nope.
They are some of my favorite books. And that's not just because I'm a huge Halo nerd. Not all of them. Some are pretty shitty. But the Eric Nyland books, like in particular, he wrote three of them, I think. He wrote The Fall of Reach, which is like the story of Master Chief getting trained, and then, you know, it kind of talks about The Fall of Reach at the end, but not really. Not as much as the game does, of course.
But it's called The Fall of Reach.
Yeah, it's called The Fall of Reach because it's about him training on Reach, and then the end he kind of comes back to Reach. But he doesn't actually do all that much, as far as I can remember. He kind of shows up, but it's mostly destroyed, and he can't do much. So he saves a few people, and then he's like, "All right, we need to leave." But I haven't read that. I haven't read that book in a while. And then there's also, what's it called? First Strike, I think, is the third book, and that takes place between Halo 2 and Halo 3. And then there's
The Flood.
Well, yeah, The Flood is the first book in the series of the. Well, it does take place after The Fall of Reach, but I think. I don't remember. Was that the first book to
this
come out?
This is complicated.
Yeah, but Eric Nyland didn't write The Flood, and I haven't even read The Flood because it's boring as shit. Like, I read, like, 50 pages, and I'm like, this is crap. So I stopped reading it, and I think that's by, like, William C. Dietz or something. But then Eric Nyland also wrote Ghosts of Onyx, which is, like, one of my favorite books of all time. That's a really, really cool book. And I think the story in the books, at least, you know, in the Eric Nyland books, the story is much insanely better than in Halo. I wish they would just like hire Eric Nyland to write their games.
We talked a lot about that. Actually, Ken and I went to a panel on Comic-Con where they had, I think they may have had that writer up there. I know they had one Halo novel writer. It was all novel writers from like for the Dragon Age series, for Mass Effect. And what they talked about basically was how it is a growing medium, how they do take their shit seriously, like these authors, you know. And most importantly, how they can create something that the video game never can, with as far as a connection with their with the player base of the games. And that was really cool to learn about, because, like you said, I think when you first see a video game IP novel, you think it's just a couple hundred pages of bullshit, and that's not the case anymore. At least not by these writers. They really are taking a look at the work, and they're going about it in their own individual way, which is to take the work in its own direction, which is obviously a risk with players who are diehards of a series that they already think is established. But it was really cool. It was a great conversation about how you can like make some things different, but if you go too far, people will just freak out, and you have to really listen to the community. So it was good. It was a really good discussion. So off that tangent, back to Halo Fest, is there anything else you wanted to tell us about what some of the new stuff they're going to be looking at?
I think one cool thing about 343 is they actually talk more about the story. Because Bungie, when they made their Halo games, they never really talked that much about the story. They would basically get a general idea of like, okay, this is the feel we want, you know, these are the kind of the characters that we want, but they don't get down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah, they're all more flash and bang.
But I've heard from like 343 that they talk about the story a lot. Bungie almost never talked about the story when it was like, you know, the actual game designers up there. But these guys talk about story a lot, so I think they're actually going to put story, you know, they're going to put a lot more emphasis on it in their games.
Tell us about Halo 4's gameplay, Christian.
Well, yeah, they didn't say shit about Halo 4's gameplay.
Right.
They had a Halo 4 panel where they talked about stuff, and it was vague, but, you know, that's what I expected. I knew they weren't going to, like, any super, like, announcements. But they did talk about, one big thing is they wanted to bring, like, the feeling of exploration back that was big in Halo 1. Like, even thinking back to it, I haven't played Halo 1 recently, and I'm not going to go back until Anniversary comes out. But, you know, I just remember when you first step out onto the Halo, like everybody talks about this, it's so epic. But I remember that first level, not just that first part, but the first level, you were definitely led in a direction, but you felt like you were, you know, in like a big area that you could actually explore. And even in Reach, I was super disappointed because Bungie said that they were going to do that in Reach. And maybe the levels in Reach are a little bit bigger, but they're still very linear.
Yeah, you could very much feel where you were going and stuff. Yeah, that's true.
And then in Halo, the original Halo Combat Evolved, it seemed much more like wide open. And that's what they're saying they're going to try and do with Halo 4. And they had so the story being told in the Forerunner trilogy is actually, even though it happens like thousands of years beforehand, it's going to connect very closely with Halo 4 because they also announced that the name of the new trilogy that Halo 4 is starting is the Reclaimer trilogy, which is mentioned in Halo, in the first Halo, because 343 Guilty Spark calls Master Chief a Reclaimer, but in the books it talks about the Forerunners are kind of like the guardians of the galaxy, and they actually took that mantle on from a race that was before them called the Precursors. So basically, what I'm thinking is now that Forerunners are gone, this new trilogy is going to be about the Master Chief and the humans taking that mantle for themselves, to where they'll kind of be the power in the universe that kind of like balances things or whatever. But that's just a guess. But they also talked about, like I said, in Halo 4, you know, there were very few comments on gameplay. But they did, there was one part that I noticed that they had a Q&A section, and some guy came up and he's like, yeah, so since the Master Chief is going into, you know, in the Halo 4 trailer, he's going into this big, what looks like a big like Forerunner planet or something, this big artificial mechanical world. And he asked if, you know, if there are going to be like Forerunner weapons and Forerunner vehicles that are going to be like usable in the game. And when he said that, two of the people, like I was watching, two of the people, like the lead designers or whatever on the game, like smiled, and they wouldn't like answer. They were like, you know, obviously we can't say absolutely yes or absolutely no. We can't really comment on that right now. And also Frankie mentioned that the humans are going to start kind of researching Forerunner technology, like now that the war is over and they're not between a rock and a hard place, they're going to have time to actually research new technologies. So we say like that might actually play into the weapons. If you really paid close attention and you know a lot about it, I actually picked out a lot from that conversation.
So what's next? What's non-Halo related?
Up-and-coming first-person shooter Halo coming out sometime later. We don't know anything if it's going to be good or not, but it's got a chance. This Halo thing has a chance.
Yeah, it might catch on.
We're moving forward onto what we're playing. Chris Benson, you're up first.
I finally started playing Portal 2 because I had to wait for a delivery of anti-nausea medication.
Okay.
I thought it was... I mean, I'm really liking it. I kind of took a break. Just got to the blue goo, the bouncy goo area. And I'm kind of taking a break because the game is really goofy and it's kind of off-putting. Because the first game, it was funny. It had, like, humor in it. But that's because it had, like, a malfunctioning AI. And then you have, like, the, you know, the rat man, the crazy dude behind the scenes who's writing stuff on the walls. It made sense realistically that they would say funny things.
But, yeah.
And this one, it's like every character is goofy. You know, like, Wheatley's goofy. The dude that owned the company just constantly saying goofy things. Like, you know, the boys in the lab, you know, just... everything's a joke and nothing's serious anymore.
Yeah, that's actually surprising to hear that perspective, because most people have been, you know, giving it a gold star for its humor and it's so funny and so wacky. But exactly, is that where we were when we started Portal 1? I thought it was one of the more I wouldn't say horrific, but it was really a frightening scene. You wake up in a sterile room. You didn't know where you were at, and you had this calm voice instructing you to live and not die, basically. And that was a really, that wasn't off-putting. That was immersing for me. I was like, oh man, this is crazy.
Yeah, it was far more sinister. And even Gladys in the new one, she's completely different. She's like openly hostile instead of like that sort of creepy, passive-aggressive, you know.
Chris, have you got a chance to play the co-op very much? Yeah, because that's what everybody talks about in and out.
Yeah. I haven't yet. I heard that you have to play. That you should play the actual single player game first because there's spoilers.
Right. Yeah. That's a good idea. I guess anybody who's talked about the game at all to me has exclusively talked about the co-op. I don't know if I've even heard that much about the single player. It's just everybody thinks the co-op is great. So.
Well, I'm definitely gonna play that.
That actually reminds me that there actually is a developer working on a Mario Portal game. So it'll be Mario, Super Mario World with portals.
I actually saw a trailer for it. It's called Super Mario Zero, and Super Mario Zero. You know what I'm saying? But it looks really cool. Like the portal functionality works really well.
Yeah.
You can see Mario. You know, he'll put like a portal on the side of a pit, and then he'll put a portal down on the ground where Goombas are walking towards you, and they'll like just pop out into the pit.
That's cool.
It's pretty clever, yeah.
It's great to have the PC and indie developers that just want to take on these projects because it's basically dreams come true. You're like, Portal and Mario together.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Christian. Christian, what have you been playing?
All right. I had been playing Catherine, but I stopped and I probably haven't played it for like a week or two.
How is that?
It's really good. I like it a lot. I really like the puzzle gameplay, like in the nightmares when you have to like climb up the tower of blocks. And at first it was funny. Basically the game progresses, like it tells you have eight knights that you're gonna like have nightmares of like climbing these towers. And
no spoilers.
And at the end, well, I haven't beat it or anything, but like by the end, it says like if you like at the end, either you die or you live or something. And
spoilers.
And like I think I'm on night 5, but like the first, or I'm on night 6. I think I'm on night 6. Like the first couple of nights, the first couple levels, like I really had no idea what I was doing. I was just randomly moving blocks, and I'm like, okay, I need to get up there. I guess I'll move this, and then like I didn't really know how the game worked, and then it started getting harder, and I felt like kind of pretty frustrated because I was like, shit, I don't even know how this, you know, because it has like fairly simple, but you know the way they kind of combine, it gets kind of complicated because it's in 3 dimensions, and like if a block is like connected to another block by like a corner, then it'll like connect and it'll float, and like it's really weird, and like if you don't really think about it or get used to the rules, like you'll just push a block and then stuff will fall down, and you'll be like, but I thought that should have connected, but now I've actually gotten the gist of it, and I can figure out like how to get out of, like if I'm in a jam, I'm like, okay, I need to do this, make a platform up there, then go, and you know what I mean. So now I'm actually getting pretty good at it. But then I hit, because there's a boss at the end of each night that like chases you up, so you have to go really fast or he'll catch up to you and kill you. I'm like on night 5 or 6, and I got to like a really frustrating part with the boss, and I kind of quit, and I've been like, you know, busy with school and everything now, so I'm like, if I play this part, it's going to frustrate me, and I'm already kind of, you know, my mind is already busy enough. I don't need an extra thing to frustrate me, so I'm going to have to wait
until I get some...
At that night, I did. I was like, fuck this game. but usually I'll do that. Like, I'll play a night, and then either I'll beat that night, and then I'll, you know, go to, like, the day part of the day portion of the game where you just talk to people and kind of watch, like, cutscenes and the story progresses. And then I'll get to the part where I'm about to start the next night, and I'll be like, okay, I don't want to deal with that stress, and I'll stop. Or I'll be in the middle of a night, and I'll get to a really hard part, and I'll stop. but I really like it. The dreams, like the gameplay, like really gives you a sense of like urgency. Like you feel like you're like, holy shit! Like it feels like a nightmare. It feels like you're really like there's something chasing you, and you have to run. So that I think that part really helps kind of stress you out, because the character in the game is all stressed out because he, you know, has this kind of thing going on between these two girls and he doesn't know what to do. And the gameplay, it's one of the only games that I've like realized that the gameplay actually like affects me and makes me like react to the other parts of the game in like, you know, the way that I should. And I think that's really cool. But I have to get back to that sometime soon, hopefully.
Nice.
Other than that, I've just been playing Halo Reach, because after all the Halo stuff, I just wanted to play. So pretty much every day I'll go on and try and finish like all the, like every day they give you like new little challenges to do, like kill 50 people or something. So I'll get on and try and do as many challenges as I can, and then
I call that Halo crack, because they get you all hooked on that shit.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. I'm gonna try. My goal is to get to the rank of general before like Halo 4 comes out.
Yeah, I got to something stupid, Christian, and then I just quit because I started. I was like, oh yeah, I have to live my life and raise a kid now. But I mean, I did get to a certain point on that thing, and it was really nice. So, all right, let's keep moving here. Ken, you wanna tell us what one or two games you've been playing?
Literally, I've been so busy writing about video games that I haven't actually been able to play any video games, but I did have a really good time at PAX the last day with you and a few other people playing a card game called Bang, which is a Wild West themed card game that you play with up to 8 people. It can be as low as 3, where it's just this, there's someone who's a sheriff, and then there's outlaws and renegades. And everybody in the game has different objectives that they're trying to do. Like, the sheriff is trying to take out the outlaws. The renegade's trying to kill everyone, and then the sheriff. The outlaw's just trying to kill the sheriff. And then there's, like, a deputy who he wins if the sheriff wins. And it's just a really quirky, fun game, because you can get, like, horses and cards where you can just punch people. There's a really funny card combo where, like... you can get these binoculars so people appear closer to you, and then you can punch them through the binoculars. When you begin the game, you can't just The point of the game is to shoot people. It's called a bang. This is a game made by an Italian guy, so some of the words and stuff aren't perfect. But when you start the game, you can only shoot people in who are right next to you at the table. So the person to the left and right of you, you can attack. So if you're like complete on the opposite side of the table from the sheriff, you're probably not going to attack him for a few turns. But you can get cards that upgrade your distance, so you can like attack three or four people away from you. And there's one item called the binoculars, which increases your range by one, so you can attack two people away. And then you can do things that don't make sense, because like there's an attack called a punch, and that just hits one person for one. And it's a punch, so you think it's like your normal human reach, but because you have these binoculars, you can punch them through the binoculars. It's just this... Yeah, it's just this fun game. I started playing it back when I worked at Square, and that's Square Enix, and
Name dropping.
Yeah, oh. And I played with a bunch of the QA testers there, and when I saw it at PAX, I had to show it to everyone, and
yeah.
Everyone fell in love with it.
Yeah, no, it was a really good game. We were supposed to do a Dungeons and Dragons delve, like the hour long fast. And I was a little disappointed because I really wanted to nerd out that way, but it was pretty cool. So I definitely suggest that if you had a rainy day or something. So the two games I played, since I also don't have time to play games, but luckily I have an iPhone and there was a couple of plane rides in between Seattle and Los Angeles for us, I was able to check out the iOS games Hard Lines, which is by Spilt Milk Studios. It's a really fun sort of a snake type of game with like lines where you get kind of a Geometry Wars feeling to it too. There's so many different modes. There's like a survival mode. There's basically you're just trying to collect these coins. You're a line who can talk, and you're a line who moves around in it's a really charming game. It's really funny because he put a lot of dialogue into it, even though you're a bunch of talking.
Oh really? I thought you were joking.
No, you're a bunch of talking lines. It's really funny. It's really charming. You're just like, and all the other lions are talking shit to you while you're trying to live. It's really funny because they're trying to come in and just screw you up while you're trying to collect these sort of coins on the screen. So again, it has a snake feel to it, but it's been built up much beyond the original snake feel. So that was a lot of fun, and it has all different types of how you can play it or which way you want to play it as far as swiping the screen or tapping it or whatever. So I definitely suggest checking it out. I think it's only 99 cents. And then the other game I was really into on the iPhone was League of Evil, which is kind of just a Super Meat Boy clone, but that's not bad. And it was perfect for iPhone. Now, you're a River City kind of guy, just sort of a tough guy with muscles, and you have to go about finding these scientists in each level and punching them in the face because they're evil, because they're evil scientists who are trying to take over the world or blow it up. I don't even remember. And in between you and that are a bunch of guys with guns and pits and spikes and lasers, and there's a briefcase in every level that you don't have to get, but if you're a gamer at all and you have a penis, you better get that briefcase, you know what I'm saying? And you have to complete the game or each level in under, say, 15 seconds or 20 seconds to get the maximum approval rating. I don't know. Like, it's all in there. Very similar to Super Meat Boy is what I mean when it's like time trials and trying to beat your best time and all that. And I guess what is really cool about it is that there's a ton of content. I mean, there must be four different campaigns with 90 different levels, like 90 levels per campaign.
Wow.
So you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of levels. I like it's definitely my travel game because I don't think I'll ever finish it. Definitely check it out if you have any iOS device because it's just cheap, good fun, and it's just, you know, a great little platformer. And then Ronnie, would you like to round out our what are we playing feature?
Yes. The game that has been taking up most of my time lately has been League of Legends.
Ooh.
I'm not surprised to hear that at all, given how many people were into that game at PAX. So.
And the thing is, like, I really like the game. It's fun. Like, I end up usually, like, between classes, I'm just like, hey, I can play this game once, something like that. But I end up playing more than one match because it's...
3 hours later.
Yeah, it's so addicting. And another thing is just, like, I hate to lose. Like, so if
because you have a wiener.
Exactly. Like, if I lose a game, I was like, no, I'm gonna win this next one. But the bad thing, the only thing I don't like about the game is that, you know, you have people of different levels, and then once you hit level 30, that's the max level. So, like, every game you play, you earn experience, even if you lose. So, if you lose, like, you know, every game you played, eventually you're going to reach level 30, and you're going to play against people that aren't losers, and you're going to bring their team down, and they're going to get really angry at you.
From what I can tell, Ronnie, it seems to be one of the top 5 or 6 most popular games on the planet right now, to be honest with you. I talked to people at PAX, and that was one of the more popular. Everybody's going over there trying to get a free code for this or a free code for that, all the different stuff that they're offering, because it's a free-to-play. It's similar to TF2 in the sense that you can, I think, buy a bunch of different, I don't know, can you, is it all just hats, Ronnie, or is there gameplay components that you can purchase as well?
No, it's just costumes.
All vanity stuff, yeah.
Yeah. They're supposed to release a new game type called Dominion soon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's made for, like, super fast, like, 20-minute type games. So that's going to be pretty interesting.
Now that we are at the end of the show, I will kill you one by one. Christian, you're up first.
No.
Ken.
I'll never tell you where the map is.
That doesn't matter, you're dead. Ronnie?
Ah, you got me. Buried me with my money.
Western Death. C. Benson.
Kapling, your bullet bounced right off me.
And ricocheted right back into your heart. And this is Eric Johnson, your host, signing off and putting the barrel of the gun into his mouth. Good night, everybody. And that's the way we should end every time. It's just horrific suicide.
I know.